Testing. The Committee on Public Integrity and Elections will come to order. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Thompson. Bardeman.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Daley.
Here.
Graul. Ingoglia, excused. Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Coster.
Here.
Lamarca.
Here.
Roach. Silvers.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez. Quorum is present, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay. Members, good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back to session. Please remember to put your phones on silent. I want to get right to business. We're going to start with HB 535 by Representative Fine relating to Barefoot Bay Recreation District, Brevard County. Representative Fine, welcome to the committee. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing the bill. Members, this is a simple bill, a local bill that would allow a referendum in the Barefoot Bay Recreation District to change their terms from 2 years to three. It would not change overall term limits from six. The reason for the bill is right now, every other year, three of their members of their five-member commission are up for re-election, so they can have turnover every 2 years. And the majority, this would space it out, so it'd be 2-2-1. And so in no single election could you have an overturning of their commission. It was brought to me by them as a request to put this on the ballot. It's just a referendum where the people who live in Barefoot Bay will be able to make the decision, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing none, any public testimony? None. Members in debate? Any members wishing to debate the bill? Seeing none, Representative Fine, you recognize to close.
Wave close.
Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson? Yes. Smith?
Yes.
Bardeman?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Graul? Yes. Ingoglia? Absent. Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Coster?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Roach? Silvers?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Bill passes, sir.
Congratulations, Representative Fine. By that vote, your bill passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have a great rest of your meeting.
Thank you. Next, we will have Representative Williamson, who has two bills. We'll start with HJR 663, Recall County Officers and Commissioners. Representative Williamson, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. This HJR would add the recall method for county officers onto a ballot initiative for the citizens to vote on and add to the Constitution for the state. Currently, this is in charter counties, but it is not in non-charter counties, so this would just add this mechanism in place for all the counties across the state, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing none, is there any public testimony? Trish Neely, League of Women Voters, Florida. Welcome, Ms. Neely. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair and members. It's a pleasure to be here to speak before you. The League looks at this as another attack on home rule, and we are strongly opposed. Changing the Constitution to allow the state legislature to recall county commissioners and officers is overreach. Every large county and a number of cities are ruled by charters. Within these charters are processes for recalling elected officials. We know how to vote good actors in and bad actors out. We don't need the Florida legislature's heavy hand. This bill offers no limitations or reasons for this recall or a process of redress. One might argue that this preemption bill is designed to punish what might be considered rogue local governments that adopt policies contrary to those of whichever political party is in power. This is state meddling in local affairs, and we urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Neely. Next, we'll have Edward Labrador from the Florida Association of Counties, who actually waves in opposition. Thank you for being here. All right, members, we are in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Williamson, you are free to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Generally, I would not close, but I just wanted to add something from some of the comments that were made. This is the ultimate home rule bill because it puts the power into the citizens that would vote on this, not the legislature. With that, I close.
Thank you, Representative. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson? Smith?
Yes.
Barterman? Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Grawl? Yes. Ngoglia? Excused. Killebrew?
No, ma'am.
Killebrew? Okay. Coster?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Roach? Silvers?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
No.
Valdez?
Yes.
Bill passes, sir.
Congratulations, Representative Williamson. By your vote, the bill passes. Let's move straight into HB 1399. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. So this would be the implementing bill for the HJR that just passed. It would only go in effect if the constitutional amendment is passed by the citizens of the state of Florida. Again, it would add the recall mechanisms in all the counties across the state, not just the charter counties. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. We do have questions. Yes. Any members with questions? I'm sorry. Representative Valdez.
Thank you very much, Chair Perez, and good morning. Chair, Representative Williamson, we just passed the provision for the ballot. This particular bill seems to exclude the language for no language to include the constitutional officers. Can you help me through that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative, thank you for the question because it's a great question. So this bill specifically adds the recall mechanism for county commissioners. Whenever I met with the groups that brought this idea to my attention, they were more specific towards the county commissions instead of the constitutional officers. Some of the reasons that they gave me was being a governing body of multiple people and also a part-time position, and I say part-time because I was a county commissioner and there's not a whole lot that's part-time about it. But they felt that that might be an opportunity for somebody maybe not to do the duties or perform the duties as they should. So the groups that I met with, they specifically asked for it to be for only county commissioners, and I certainly am open to any suggestions from this committee and from anybody behind me that is against this bill to make it better if we need to add constitutional officers into that.
Follow-up question?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So the recall petitions would be filed with whom? That's kind of sort of vague.
You're
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. If you look at the analysis from staff, it's very cumbersome, this mechanism. I can go through quick, like six steps. So first of all, you'd have a petition of the electors from the district or the governmental unit, so the county. Those petitions, they would have to describe why that this member should be removed from the government body. They have to obtain signatures on a petition based on the size of the municipality or the district. Then the petitions must be approved by the supervisor of elections and they must serve the member that's being recalled. The member would have 5 days to fill out a statement of defense. Then the recall petition and defense must be signed by 15% of the electors. From there, the signatures, if they're not obtained, then the recall mechanism does not go into place and the proceedings end. If they are obtained, then the clerk would serve it to the member who's being recalled. And then if the member does not resign within 5 days, then the chief judge of the judicial circuit sets the date for a recall election to occur. And that's just like a really quick synopsis of it, but it's in the staff analysis. You can read, it's 2 pages long. It's a very thorough and cumbersome mechanism or initiative that goes in place.
Thank you.
Representative Lamarca.
Thank you, Chair. I prefer to go in debate. I apologize.
Members and questions. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Williamson, what kind of actions would be included in the definition of malfeasance and misfeasance?
You recognize Representative Williamson.
So malfeasance would be some type of wrongdoing, like embezzling money. And then misfeasance would be, the definition is a wrongful exercise of lawful authority.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. So, Representative, would this capture the kind of activity that we saw with the tax collector in Seminole County?
Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ranking Member. I'm not aware of that situation, but I can look into it and get you an answer.
Thank you.
Members, any questions? We're in public testimony. Edward Labrador, Florida Association of Counties. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eddie Labrador on behalf of the Florida Association of Counties. We didn't stand up, and although we put in a card in opposition to the constitutional amendment, that constitutional amendment that you just all voted on both applies to county commissioners and to local county officers, constitutional officers, sheriff, supervisor of election, tax collector, clerk, so forth. The bill before you doesn't include them. And my suggestion to you is that we're opposed to this bill because it doesn't do so. If you are asking for the authority for the people to give you so that you can provide for recall of local elected officials as our non-charter county commissioners, and you're also getting the authority to do the constitutional officers, you should include the constitutional officers in the implementing bill. This bill doesn't do that. So let's treat our local officials fairly. Let's include all of them, and let's give the people the right to recall those county officers, whether it's a sheriff or a county commissioner, the ability to recall. And this bill just doesn't get there, and that's why we are opposed to the bill.
Thank you. Members, we are now in debate. That concludes public testimony. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Valdez.
Thank you very much, Chair Perez. And I would like to see consistency on the bill, and I also wonder why didn't we include the cabinet, the governor? I mean, because it could get to that point one day, right? So if we're going to be doing constitutional changes this way, I believe that it should cover all gamuts of the elected officials. So for today, because I see that this has one more stop, I will vote no on this particular piece of legislation in hopes that maybe by the time it gets to the floor, it would come to a yes when we include all of the elected officials. I just think it's more balanced and fair at that point, so that then we can have the implementing bill match the ballot initiative. Thank you.
Representative LaMarco.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative, thanks for bringing both these bills. The other bill, as I thought when you reached out to me, said, well, you were a county commissioner, and so was I. I was in a charter county. If you look back at the time that I had the opportunity to serve from 2010 to 2018, I think we had at least one, if not two, sheriffs going on two supervisor elections that were recalled. And I think ultimately, as was said by you in the close of the other bill, I think it's important to give the people the right to make these decisions. I'm going to support the bill. I do agree a little bit with some of my colleagues that we should capture everything in it, but I support the bill. Thank you.
Any other member wishing to debate? Representative Stevenson.
Thank you. And thank you, Chair Williams, for bringing this forward. I find it interesting that there was a recall for city. I did not know. I've never seen that used. But I have served on a commission where a member was removed. And it's not a comfortable thing. But since we have it, I would be interested in the future. And this technically should be questions. But if you happen to know, how often has this extreme measure been taken or utilized? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member wishing to debate? Representative Williamson, you are free to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to answer one of the representative's questions in my closing, while we can add the constitutional officers, we could not add school board members or the cabinet or the state legislature to this because it's in different parts of the Constitution. So this is specific to the part of the Constitution which describes county commissioners and county officers. And that does not capture school board, nor does it capture the state officers. That would have to be, I'd have had to run about six or eight bills to get all of that, and we have just a few bill slots.
Thank you, Representative Williamson. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson? Smith?
Yes.
Vardaman?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Grawl? Ngoglia, absent. Killebrew?
No.
Coster?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
No.
Valdez? Valdez?
Yes.
By your vote, show the bill passes. Congratulations, Representative
Thank you,
Williamson.
Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
Moving right along to Representative Toledo, presenting House Bill 1541. Welcome to the committee. Representative Toledo, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, members. House Bill 1541 increases accountability in the use of public funds, provides the legislature more information about inspector general investigations, rewards state employees for identifying waste, fraud, and misuse of state funds, and corrects unhealthy procurement practices. All provisions in this bill have been approved in the PIE Committee in previous years, and the criticisms of last year's bill have been addressed in this year's draft. Specifically, there is no new integrity office being created, and current Inspector General and the CFO's Fraud Office will do any of the investigations specified in this bill. There are additional due process provisions for those administratively accused of responsibility for fraud, misuse, or waste of tax dollars. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Toledo. Members, are there any questions? Seeing none, is there any public testimony? Representative Valdez, and questions. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Representative Toledo, and thank you, Chair. I'm wondering how do we work in our communities with the EEOC, understanding they're a federal organization. Sometimes some of the whistleblowing happens in the EEOC area and then it just stops, you know, the process stops. I've had a couple of incidences back home while on the school board that, you know, these types of concerns have been brought up. So I wonder how the bill doesn't talk to that, but I wonder how we could have better relationships in our local municipalities throughout the states and the different communities that then this process would continue and not get to a stop.
Representative Toledo.
Thank you, and thank you for that question. So there is a hotline for whistleblowers to provide information so that there can be an investigation. And this bill also provides some protections for that whistleblower. If the investigations result in savings, then the whistleblower also will receive some incentives as well.
Follow-up.
Yeah, Representative Valdez with a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. And in this particular bill, why is it that it's specific individuals that or specific employees that would receive compensation or bonus, and why is it not to anybody that
Representative Toledo
whistleblow?
Thank you so much for that question. Thank you, Chair, for recognizing. Yes, so we're all in this together, and I think employees of state agencies are the first ones to see some of this abuse happening. So we're obviously going to incentivize them to review any contracts, and have their eyes open to any misuse or mismanagement. So we're rewarding incentives to the specific employees, but I would be willing to work with you to see if other people can find any ways, because again, we're all in this together.
Members in questions, any other members with questions? Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Internal whistleblowers are especially effective in determining fraud. In the Sarbanes-Oxley rules that were passed, it was found to be one of the most effective things they could do to detect fraud, most efficient. So I appreciate that. One of the things that I always am concerned about, and I think there's an element of this that requires it, I think after 6 months to report probable misdoings to the Joint Legislative Audit Commission. I just wondered if because it's an individual if that would be protected by shade until it's brought to a conclusion. Sometimes there's more than one person involved, and it can take a while before the full net drops on bad behavior, and you want to get all the people. And I just wondered if that would, if you considered that in the bill.
Representative Toledo.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for that very good question and suggestion. I will consider that, but definitely we want to make sure they're protected and just getting to the bottom of this.
Can I, a quick follow-up, sir?
Follow-up.
And the other thing that, we did a provision like this in county government, and one of the things that I also was concerned about is people weaponizing it and discrediting someone to just besmirch, you know how that is, something comes out in the public, before you have all the facts, their guilt, their career's ruined. So those are the two things I would appreciate if you'd consider and you as you go through the process.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for that suggestion as well. We will be considering and making sure we're protecting and making sure that there's no retaliation and that investigation doesn't create a burden on that person that's seeking to prevent the fraud and waste.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep. Members and questions? Seeing no more questions. There is no public testimony. We are in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity just to thank the representative for our exchange over the weekend to look at adding tax collectors to the audit. As mentioned previously by Representative Thompson, we certainly had an issue in Seminole County with our tax collector who's now already pled guilty to 6 federal charges and looking some, he's going to spend a significant portion of his life behind bars, rightly so. However, I just, again, thank you for looking at this to add, because we could have caught, had this law been on the books, we could have caught his mismanagement before we caught his misconduct, and to have made it, with people that were not familiar with the manipulation of cryptocurrency, with some of his contracting practices, or is probably the best way to put it, could have been caught in an audit before the federal authorities had to, been involved. And I just thank you for bringing this good bill forward and look forward to working with you on this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Toledo, you're free to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, especially the ones that have reached out to me with feedback and some suggestions to make this bill better. I think we can all agree we need to all look at our tax dollars and make sure they're spent wisely and efficiently. Our main job here in Tallahassee is to pass a balanced budget, but I think we all agree that we need to make sure our money is spent wisely and responsibly, and that is one of our duties. This bill will help to protect state funds from being improperly used and recovering costs where possible, and rewarding those who identify the waste, fraud, and misuse. I hope you will support me on this bill, and together we will work to make the highest degree of integrity across the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Toledo. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Bardaman?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Coster?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Bill passes, sir.
By your vote, show the bill passes. Congratulations, Representative Toledo.
Thank you, members, and thank you, Chair.
Next, we will go to our last bill by Representative Byrd, PCB PIE 22-04 on ethics. Representative Byrd, you are recognized to explain PCB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. PCB PI 2204 addresses a number of ethics and lobbying subjects. All of these provisions have been seen before in the committee that we workshop this during committee weeks, or recommended by the Ethics Commission. Specifically, the bill does the following. It updates candidate qualification requirements effective April 1st, 2022 to conform to new electronic filing or financial disclosures beginning in 2022. It clarifies certain provisions relating to electronic filing of disclosures of financial interests beginning in 2023. It repeals unnecessary restrictions on state employees lobbying the legislature. The bill makes additional minor revisions to the Code of Ethics for public officers and employees. It updates the conflicting employment or contractual interest provision in the Ethics Code. It deems a contractual interest of certain business in which a public officer or employee holds a material interest to be a contractual interest of such officer or employee. This fixes the so-called LLC loophole, whereby a city council member may do business with the city simply by using an LLC controlled by the council member. It clarifies the legislative exemption and eliminates or sunsets obsolete exemptions. It clarifies training requirements and annual reporting thereof in the Ethics Code, adding certain local officers. It revises the local government voting conflict law. It provides a 5-year statute of limitations for collecting financial disclosure late penalties of persons who are not public officers or employees. Updates executive branch lobbying registration requirements to mandate electronic registration. Add the Board of Governors of the State University System and the State Board of Education to the public agencies to which the lobby registration requirements apply. Authorizes dismissal of certain lobbyist compensation audit findings. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions? Seeing none, there is no public testimony. We are in debate, members. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Byrd, you are free to close. Seeing that Representative Byrd waves his close, Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson? Smith?
Yes.
Bardeman?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Graw? Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Coster?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Prior votes show the bill passes. Congratulations, Representative Byrd. Members, thank you for your input in today's meeting. And upon the motion of Vice Chair Smith, and without objection, the meeting stands adjourned.